welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Well, gents, what a couple of weeks it's been in football.
It has been, but you've checked out of it for a couple of weeks, haven't you?
Yeah.
Did you check in while you were away?
I sort of did. I had apps on my phone yesterday. I was sat on the runway at Olbia Airport in Sardinia, and it was before they actually told us to turn to airplane mode. And I thought, this is the wonder of the modern age, because there I was sat watching the Arsenal-Everton game on my phone.
You were being that guy.
I was being that guy. Yeah.
You could have caused a big plane accident.
I could have done. I was reckless with so many other people's lives.
Including your own.
I know. TV's James Nesbitt was on the plane.
James Nesbitt.
Wow.
Which one is he?
Which TV person?
Cold Feet.
Cold Feet guy.
Yeah. People were recognising me going,
can we get a selfie with the Cold Feet guy?
No, yeah.
And
yeah.
He said, actually, I'm Lucky Man guy now. Yeah. Obviously, in and out. Ulster accent, you know.
Yes.
I'm going to embarrass myself by affecting an Ulster accent.
Yeah, I could have gone up to him and asked him to say snooker for me. But...
Power shower.
Power shower. Clear. Power shower.
Yeah. If Ryan Keeney still listens to this podcast, he's going to...
Doesn't now.
You know, he's going to turn it off right now.
Sorry, Ryan.
But while we're away, though, it all went a bit pear-shaped. Because, Terry, you were away as well, weren't you? You've only just come back as well. We've both been on holiday this week. That's why we didn't have a podcast last week, listeners. So there you go. We've been sunning ourselves. And that's also why we didn't have a newsletter out last week, because we
Same
were
reason.
On the beach.
Yeah.
And that was the last thing we were concerning ourselves with. But, yeah, we had some bad news, because while I was away, Whiteleaf, our club that we're all season ticket holders for.
We are.
A club that is in the fourth tier of the English non-league, so in the eighth tier. Seven below the Premier League, our club, which we go to whenever they've got a home game, was due to play three games. And in the end, they only played one. They played the first game, which they lost. Boo. And then they had a midweek game, which was a Surrey Cup game, I think, against Egham. That was called off because the floodlights didn't work. That's the sort of thing that happens in non-league. And then the third game, which was the biggest game, which was our second qualifying round in the FA Cup against St Albans, was called off. And why was it called off?
It was called off because Whiteleaf allegedly fielded an illegible player in the last round of the cup against Corinthian Casuals. And
point of order there.
It was against Saltine.
Against Saltine.
He didn't actually play in the kick against...
No, but this is the problem, because the information that's come out has been extremely scant. But yes. You're right, they have been chucked out of the FA Cup, pending appeal, because... of feeling an ineligible player. And the sort of subject we're going to be talking about this evening is going to be largely about punishment of clubs and sanctions imposed upon them based on the actions of players. So this is not on the field incidents. This is off-field incidents or things that will affect their eligibility to play. But we're going to concentrate on this one to begin with, because it's a real conundrum, isn't it, Terry?
Yeah, what happened is that the player in question played, I think, 2 minutes in an FA Cup game against Saltine for Whiteleaf and also played in a league game because the club are also waiting for decision from the league as well as to whether or not they're going to discipline the club. I don't know what's happened there.
That's not come through.
They might be waiting to see what happens with the whole FA thing first. It was only for a couple of minutes or so.
It was in the replay. He came on in the 88th minute when Whiteleaf were leading 2-1.
The problem is that the player was ineligible, but the club are saying that he presented himself under an alias or using identification that was either false or not corresponding to the proper identity of that person. This chap is banned. He's been banned until 2020.
Yes, and for violent conduct.
For good reason.
Yes.
The
person who they assume it is, and we don't know... Actually.
Well, this is the thing,
That's a good point.
Well, I'm not entirely certain, I've not got my head around whether or not this guy is who he say he is or who he's told the FA who is. In any event, it would appear that he is ineligible, but the club are quite understandably stating, well, look, this chap presented himself with his credentials, and as far as we were concerned... all of his papers were in order. And therefore he played. And so their position was is that the player misled the club, succeeded in misleading the club, and now the club are victim to that and have been, well, subject to appeal, kicked out of the FA Cup and denied the prize money that comes with winning.
Yes.
You know, getting that, because that first qualifying round, you know, against Corinthian Casuals, that went to replay. It was a keenly contested match. We were there.
Yes.
And it was very emotional. And it's very important. And the reason why it's emotional is because it can't be understated how important the FA Cup is at that level.
Yeah.
I mean, the big Premier League clubs have a love-hate relationship, I think, with the FA Cup because it clogs up the fixtures and, you know, it can be difficult. It's a club, it's a competition that supporters care about, but only to a point. But down on the non-leagues, £6,000 in prize money for winning a football match,
yeah,
that is a lot of money.
That's a significant amount of money.
Particularly for Whiteleaf, because they really use that money.
And compounded that with the fact that you've got the match in the preliminary round against Sault Dean, which was best part of £3,000 as well.
Mm.
That equates to £9,000 that Whiteleaf could be losing out.
Mm.
Now, £9,000 for a club like Whiteleaf, if they were to try and get that money from the turnstiles, that you're talking about 7 or 8 home games.
Yes. Yeah. That, I mean, well, yeah, that's actual money.
Yeah.
That's not the turnover.
The outlay.
So the outlay of opening up. So it would be, you know, half a season's worth of revenue probably in terms of...
Which is a really, really, really important amount. They've actually doubled the amount of money you get for the FA Cup, which is really good news this season.
Mm.
But to put that in context, the amount of money that you get at the second qualifying round, £6,000, to put that in context, Arsenal and Chelsea last year in the Women's FA Cup earned £5,000 for winning the semi-final.
Bloody hell. Right.
That's quite a difference,
isn't
it?
Yeah. The winners of the FA Cup last year, Chelsea, earned £25,000, which is what non-league clubs will be getting this year in the fourth qualifying round.
Right, okay. Wow. It's quite a disparity still in terms of prize money and revenue between the men and the women's game.
Yeah, we won't go into that too much, but listeners, if you think that's quite shocking, then feel free to do your own research. We might come back and talk about this at some other time. But last year, the prize pot in the Women's Cup final was £40,000. They had 45,000 people turning up at Wembley to watch it, so it was less than a pound for every person that turned up to Wembley.
Wow.
Was the prize money.
Yeah.
So, if you think that sucks, then please send a tweet to tell people and use the hashtag that stinks. But we're not going to go too much into this case. I mean, we've given you the overarching aspects here, which obviously you can see are quite complicated. And also the most important thing is the importance of the FA Cup to non-league sides. But because it's still under appeal, we can't actually go into too much and we don't want to really jeopardise anything for anyone involved. Of course, that hasn't stopped people on social media having their say.
Apparently not, no.
But of course, there's very little out there. At this level of football, there really isn't too much being said about it. All that's really being said is the reaction to the statement that Whiteleaf sent out.
Mm.
And so you've got clubs like Sault Dean having their say, Corinthian Casuals having their say, the fans of both sides are having this, all three sides having their say. But I think what really confused this situation was the decision by the FA, once they got rid of Whiteleaf, to reinstate Corinthian Casuals.
Mm.
Now, as you say, Terry, the incident happened during the game with Sault Dean.
Mm.
But obviously the FA didn't spot the fact that one of the players was ineligible until after not only the first game against Corinthian Casuals had been played, but actually after the second game had been played and even after the draw had been made.
Yes.
Now, technically, if it was the clubs that had an issue, if Sault Dean had an issue or if Corinthian Casuals had an issue, they would have 2 days after the game to lodge an appeal.
Mm.
But of course, this is actually the FA that has looked at it and said, actually, no, this is...
Right.
So they can go back further. I do actually have the official guidelines up in front of me, and it says, where a player that is found to be ineligible under the rules of the association plays for a club in a competition match, the professional game board shall remove the club from the competition and may impose further penalties against the club. However, where the club satisfies the professional game board that the club or any of its officers did not know and could not reasonably have known, even had it made every reasonable inquiry, with the exercise of the utmost caution, that the player was ineligible. The club shall not be removed from the competition, but may still be subject to another penalty, e.g. fine, order to replay the match. Now, which is fine if it was in the game against Corinthian Casuals.
Mm.
But because it wasn't, because it was in the game against Saltdean, that's really confused things, because now what happened today was the draw was made for the next round,
yeah,
and Corinthian Casuals were in the draw. It was Corinthian Casuals or St Albans against, well, a nice plum tie against Taunton Town.
Wow.
So, yeah, all the way over in Somerset.
Yeah.
So this is how the FA Cup escalates as it goes through. This is the third qualifying round. This is serious stuff. We've never seen Whiteleaf go that far. We've seen them get to the second qualifying round before, but never go any further than that. They made it to the first round proper back at the end of the 90s, but that was before our time.
We
were all still at Croydon back then.
Mm.
What do you think of that decision then, yeah? The decision to reinstate Corinthian Casuals but not Saltdean?
I would imagine Saltdean would be fairly unhappy with that judgment, and I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Because effectively they are the wrong party in this. The ineligible player was fielded against them in a tie that they ultimately lost, and then they were out of the cup. They've been wronged, you could argue, allegedly they've been wronged.
Yeah.
So I think they've got a good shout for being in it. But at the same time, it would be chaotic and ridiculous to take Corinthians out of that tie as well, for the same reason. They find themselves in a really strange situation, Corinthians, don't they?
Yeah.
If they're in the next round of the Cup, which at this time they are, it kind of calls into question whether they should be there, but for completely different reasons.
Yeah.
It's very, very complex. I'm trying to get it straight in my own mind.
I know.
How you would even argue why they should or shouldn't be there.
Well, technically, they were knocked out by a legal side, although the legal side should not have been there.
They lost the game fair and square.
Yeah.
I mean, that much we can say. There was no ineligible player fielded in the two games that Whiteleaf played with Corinthian Casuals. They lost the tie fair and square. It was an emotional game, and there were shenanigans. So they might argue that they didn't lose the game fair and square, but they did lose the game without, you know, Whiteleaf having the, quote, benefit of this ineligible player.
Yeah.
Worth bearing in mind, the player only played for, what, 2 minutes against Saltdean?
2 minutes and injury time.
But played zero,
game, yeah.
Played 0 minutes against Corinthian Casuals. So,
yeah, wasn't even on the bench.
So I don't think that, I think in that respect, I don't think that Casual fans can really have that much argument that they did lose, they totally lost that tie. For them to be reinstated when the injury was not done to them, doesn't, from my point of view, doesn't seem to be sporting. But Jan's right, I'm not quite sure what you can do. Would you then reinstate Saltdean and then insist that Saltdean play Casuals in a rerun of the tie?
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be something as realistically that you would do.
No, it's farcical if that was to happen, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at those rules again. I mean, I wonder if Whiteleaf are going to be able to persuade the FA and say, look, we could not reasonably have known
that
this player was ineligible. And maybe the FA will reprieve them. Or maybe what they'll do is they'll reinstate them but dock them their fee or their prize money or something like that. I don't want to prejudice the outcome of the appeal at all. But, you know, I mean, there may well be a way back here. But you know, we won't. You'll know before we do, I would imagine, listeners as well. I think it'll be all sorted by the time this comes out. But it's not a satisfactory way of doing things, but the pace of the FA Cup is such it moves so quickly at this stage that you can't automatically spot these kind of ineligibilities and these problems immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
And so you just have to make the best of it.
Well, yeah, looking at their rules, you'd say that they have done the right thing. They've said, OK, look, point 16, Article B, what I read out earlier, basically, was saying that if they found that an eligible player has played, then the team has to come out of the competition. And that's what happened
at
the weekend, pending an appeal. Now, the appeal goes through on the 1st of October. Corinthian Casuals are due to play St Albans on the 2nd of October. So we could see if the appeal is held and Whiteleaf are reinstated, then that game will be called off and that will roll over to another game. And so you end up being two rounds behind in the Cup because at this stage, the rounds are coming every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult. And of course, there's so many clubs at this stage of the competition.
Yeah.
There's what, in excess of 700 clubs, I think, in the Cup. Mm. Obviously, by the time most people get to see the FA Cup, it's whittled down to the third round, which is like the last 64 teams. 700 teams have already left the competition by that stage.
Yeah.
It is...
I mean, it is worth pointing out that that is the scale of the challenge that the FA have in order to administer this competition. It also is why... traditionally, they tend to be very black and white when it comes to making these kind of decisions, because I imagine that an appeals process is time-consuming and costly.
Yeah.
And these are all things that don't bode tremendously well. When you're trying to make a nuanced argument about something and say, look at this again, which really wasn't our fault.
Yeah.
And they'll say, yeah, but you still broke the rules, though. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's really...
Well, we see that in all manner of things within the game. We've spoken before in this podcast about intent on the field when you see people going in for hard tackles and then say, well, I didn't intend to do any harm to him. Well, yes, but you still did.
You still broke his legs.
Yeah.
Can we equate those two things to being off the field, that even if they made an unwitting mistake, even though he only played 2 minutes of the game and didn't have a telling contribution to make in the game, can we say that, yes, he was only off 2 minutes, so that doesn't really matter? Or do we say, well, no, he shouldn't have been there, even if you knew it or not?
Well, I think if I'm a Salt Dean or a Casuals fan, I probably would say the latter, but I'm not.
Well,
I think that if it is as Whiteleaf are saying, and that this guy presented false ID, to cover up the fact that he's an ineligible player in order to play for Whiteleaf, then I think that Whiteleaf have got every grounds for an appeal.
Yeah, absolutely. What strikes me is that the FA must have something pretty damning to have made this decision.
Yes.
It's quite a bold move, isn't it? It's very decisive, and you're right, they're adhering to the letter of the law. There must be a smoking gun. But you're right, Terry, if this chap's turned up and he's presented his, driving licence or whatever, some official documentation saying this is who I am, and they've registered based on that, then they've kind of done everything they can. They've acted in the utmost care, as I think it says in the article. However, if they have not done that, then, they should take their punishment, and that's fair enough.
And that's what will have to be proven.
And I think that given what the FA have done, I would suggest that that's what they're saying. There was no follow-through. You didn't follow proper procedure. Yeah. There was not the utmost care. But that's me guessing.
I suppose what the problem is, though, now, is because there is this extra round has gone in, that complicates the whole matter, doesn't it? But should it complicate the matter? Should it be said, well, OK, once you've gone past a round, that's it, get your house in order, and if you play another game in there and you haven't spotted the mistake, then you can't take it back? Even if you are the FA, even if it is your competition, it sucks on the wronged team. If the club signing the player couldn't find anything wrong with him, how is the opposition team going
to
look through the holes?
Yeah, it's not up to the opposition to be checking.
No.
It's the responsibility, I suspect, lies with the club.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Because presumably the FA can't go through every single player who's played.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, 800, did you say 700?
Yeah, that many games.
Times a squad for each single.
Who has that job?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't believe that happens.
No.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that they actually pick up on these things, because there's so many players out there. It's extraordinary. But I mean, obviously, they've been doing it for a very long time and they will have their processes. But I mean, ultimately, they would cover themselves by saying the responsibility lies with the club to make certain that they are fielding eligible players, not with the FA.
Okay.
So that means that probably then covers them. Whereas if something comes to light a couple of games later, they go, well, actually, mush. You've done this, and so you're out. And by default, it goes to the Corinthian Casuals, if you like, are the kind of lucky losers in a situation like this. I think it stinks, but then I think it would also equally stink if I was on the other side of things.
Yeah.
And I suddenly found that if I was a Salt Dean fan, I'd think it would probably stink as well.
Yeah, what do they get out of this? Because Corinthians get back into the tournament, but Salt Dean get nothing out of this.
Yeah, well, okay, but let's actually just play a little game.
Okay.
Now, what I want to do is we'll have to pretend that we are supporters of different clubs for this one, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, who wants to be Salt Dean?
I'll be Salt Dean.
You be Salt Dean. Okay. Who wants to be Whiteleaf?
I'll be Whiteleaf.
Okay. No, so I'll be Corinthian Casual.
You get to be a Casual.
Yeah, I think that's probably wise, because I am the most evil one out of all three of us. So Corinthian Casuals are just
Don't
horrible.
Be fooled by their PR campaign of Kevin Casual. Do not be fooled at all.
They're horrible, terrible, terrible people.
They weren't our kind of people, were they?
No, they weren't. They
definitely
weren't.
Not our kind of
terrible,
people.
Terrible, terrible. Yeah. So, I mean, they're all there with their celebrity fans and everything. Oh, and their erstwhile bloggers there, like going into history and say, oh, look how wonderful they are.
Bloody podcasters.
Yeah, anyway, from now, I'm a Kevin Casual fan, okay. And I will be truly impartial.
Well, you are a podcaster, so yes.
Okay, yeah, look at me. Right, okay, so the first one is Kevin Casual's go through. So I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about you guys? Are you happy with that?
No.
No.
We're the wronged party.
Yeah.
We should be reinstated.
Well, the next one is Whiteleaf are reinstated. Whiteleaf go through, and everything is fine. Mm. How do you feel about that?
Well, if that was to happen, that would be because their appeal was successful,
yeah,
and they'd been proved to have done whatever they're supposed to have done. So therefore, that's fair enough. Although, I'm still pretty pissed off.
You're still pretty pissed off. And then I'm pissed off because I've been kicked out of the competition by a legal team.
You're suffering from an overinflated sense of entitlement.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's why I'm pissed off. Okay. That's my motivation here. Okay, right. Yes, grr. Yeah, I'm gonna write a long read on this. You know.
That was yeah, actually quite terrifying.
We are actually kind of doing that.
Yeah. Yes.
This is our version of a long read.
The irony isn't lost on me.
Half an hour we've been talking about this. There. This was the jumping off point, and we're now going point by point.
Now, the third option, out of eight, is Saltina reinstated and Whiteleaf and Corinthians are out.
Well, I think justice has been served there, definitely.
Yes, I agree. I think that is the fair. If that is that what's happened, then Saltina are the injured party. They should be reinstated.
Yeah. Of course, the other option is that all three of us are out. St Albans get a bye to play Taunton.
So what circumstances would that be? That would be Saltina lost the game and we've moved on to the round afterwards, and so therefore they're not eligible. It's tough. It's just under the rule that it's just tough titty.
Yeah.
Whiteleaf are ineligible because they fielded an ineligible player. Corinthian Casuals are ineligible because they lost the game anyway. And so, you know, losers don't go through. That's literally how sport works. So, okay, I can see that totally. And then give St Albans a bye.
Yeah.
That does mean giving St Albans a bye.
Yeah,
although I don't have massive beef with St Albans, I'm pretty certain I could concoct some pretty quickly. This is non-league football.
Yeah.
And axe grinding is very much a part of non-league football. If you haven't noticed, Ian King's from St Albans. There you go.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, he had some takes in his last podcast that I disagreed with. So there. Up yours.
Actually, I've got some sympathy for St Albans.
Really?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, they had their game called off with like a couple of hours to go.
Yeah.
Which I think is unfortunate.
It was a couple of hours. They had more than that.
Yeah, but they are being messed around on it, and they've got their other fixtures to get.
Of course they are. Yeah. Yes.
So it's, you know, it's not necessary.
But non-league clubs are used to being messed around by the authorities.
Yeah. And of course, the other option is that the games are replayed. So either Whiteleaf play Saltina or Saltine play Corinthians, or
well, the only grounds for doing that would be is if Whiteleaf were guilty.
Yeah,
and if Whiteleaf were guilty, they should be thrown out of the competition.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm. So it's all a big mess, and there is no easy solution there.
Final crumb of comfort for Whiteleaf.
Yeah,
it is not exactly the same.
Okay,
but I'm going to offer it up as a precedent. Tranmere won Sunderland 0 in the FA Cup in the year 2000. Tranmere's latest act of cup heroics was overshadowed by controversy as the First Division side replaced a sent-off player with a substitute at the end of the fourth round thriller at Prenton Park. Football Association is to look into the incident and will make a decision on Monday morning. A spokesman told that a replay was an option, although Sunderland had not made an official complaint. Interestingly, Tranmere had 12 guys on the pitch.
Yes. Now that's...
And stayed in.
Now, as far as ineligibility is concerned...
Doesn't get much more ineligible than a 12th guy on the pitch.
No. Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. No, sorry. It was 11 guys on the pitch, but one of them said they should have had 10.
Yeah, because he got sent off.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the same thing, because I mean, presumably the guy who replaced him wasn't an ineligible player.
No.
He just shouldn't have been on the pitch.
Yes.
So he wasn't sort of like, you know, ineligible as in you are banned from playing football. It's like you are banned from playing football at this precise moment.
Yeah. And as well as that player had to go on past a match official.
Yes.
So the referee which is what the issue
chaos
is.
Chaos ensued. It might well be that the FA looked, well, I mean, the referee should have picked up on this. The fourth official should have picked up on this. We can't blame that.
Yeah.
And Sunderland, as it happened, didn't protest.
Mm.
So perhaps if they had done, it might have been a different thing.
Yeah.
But nevertheless,
precedent is there?
I would suggest that that gives some kind of precedent.
Yes.
If I was Whiteleaf's lawyers, I don't think Whiteleaf have lawyers, then that's probably what I would be saying.
Yes. Now, the main problem with any sanctions against a team, especially if it's down to one player, is that the whole team suffers for one player.
Yeah.
And this happens a lot anyway, doesn't it? If your player has been out on a Friday night, has a few too many sherbets, gets in his car, drives into a wall, gets sent down to Chokey, or gets into some other type of scrape, which is far more unsavoury, then all of a sudden your contracted player, who you paid good money for, is all of a sudden at Her Majesty's pleasure. Of course, the clubs do have recourse. They can sue the players. The Adrian Mutu case was very famous, wasn't it, when he got caught taking recreational drugs and was banned. And obviously Chelsea had paid a lot of money for him and he was on a very lucrative contract. And, of course, they sued him for lots and lots and lots of money that he didn't actually have.
I was going to say that they didn't recover that then because he clearly didn't have it.
They bankrupted him, basically.
Wow.
There have been lots of cases of high-profile players who have made a mistake off the field, some more sinister and dangerous, and quite rightly have gone on to serve prison sentences. Clubs have been affected. But, of course, that's no defence, is it? It's not like saying, if you burgle a house, you're not going to get away with not going to jail. If you say, well, look, I'm the only breadwinner of my family, so what's going to happen to them? You see, I can't be allowed to go to prison because, so, you know, this is the right thing to do. We live in a society where, you know, if you do bad things.
Yes, crime, time.
Crime, time, yeah.
There are instances, of course, not in this country, or not that I'm aware. Well, okay, maybe there are instances in this country where if you're sufficiently well healed, or if you've got the right connections, you can avoid a prison sentence. There's a specific rugby player who recently, in the eyes of a number of people, avoided a prison sentence. And then those guys over in the United States, swimmers, were they? I remember. A similar situation. And then, for assault.
Yeah.
Were they, dare I say, of a different class?
Yeah.
Dare I say, of a different skin colour, would have seen some time. So I don't necessarily, I think that it's possible that we live in an age where, you know, highly paid players with expensive lawyers and maybe with the right connections might be able to avoid that, convince a judge. You know, there can be situations in which these situations can be avoided. The fact of the matter is that if your club is facing a disciplinary matter, then if you've got money, then you'll turn up with your lawyer. And the lawyer will go around and say, you know, if you pursue this, if you punish us too harshly, we'll go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport and we'll win. And then the FA then have to think, oh, we really need this.
Yeah.
You know, and then they probably do end up mitigating some punishments. So if you've got money and influence, then, yeah, you can avoid these kind of problems or you can mitigate them.
Yeah, or you can get things so tied up in appeals.
That's the thing,
and
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the things run on and on and on, and
I mean, it's not worth your time. So
they effectively cut a deal in a way.
It does strike me that a lot of things like this could be the reason why we don't see as many prosecutions for drug use in football, and I'm talking performance enhancing drugs.
Right. Yeah.
Because I don't know if the FA wants to go full tilt and at it to look at the use of performance-enhancing drugs. And I'm sure it does a very good job, and I'm sure there are perfectly good screening programmes in operation.
Yeah.
However, what do you do when you find someone who's taken drugs?
Yeah, especially if they're very high profile.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do
if it's your golden boy?
Yeah, exactly. What do you do? I mean, they did it with, and this was for recreational drug use, which wasn't actually proved, was it? It was just for Rio Ferdinand.
He just missed a test. He missed a test.
Well, he deliberately missed the test.
He was found guilty for deliberately missing a test.
Yes.
He says he didn't deliberately miss a test. He just kind of forgot.
Yeah, but
went to Harvey Nichols, I think. and you worked 7-8 months?
8 months it was, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reaction was polarised. United fans were appalled when everyone else was like, in any other sport, you'd get 5 years.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that the FA, I do think the FA are somewhat lenient than other sports,
because
there's an acknowledgement that drugs in football is not as big a problem as it is in other professional sports.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's a complete joke. I mean it is an utter joke. I mean
you'll find many people who will argue vigorously that it is nowhere near the problem in football than it is in other sports.
And that's because no one is cool.
And I can only assume until they're presented with evidence to the contrary that they'll maintain that view.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is that my view, that I think actually it's far more widespread than it is also as baseless.
Yeah.
I don't have any evidence to say.
But what would they do if they discovered it? It's like smashing your own windows, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're a governing body of a boxing authority and you found out that your heavyweight champion was doping.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be in a very difficult position because your kind of whole, you know, all your money is based on that. Yeah. It's going to be a nightmare.
I mean, your sport loses credibility. You're going to lose sponsorship. No one's going to want to touch your sport. This is the problem that cycling had a few years back. They say it's pretty much clean now. No one's getting caught anymore.
I don't think anyone will truly believe it.
No.
That's why everyone
hates Team Sky, isn't it?
Let's not talk about that because that is not something.
Yeah.
Marginal gains and all that. But, you know, lots of people have asthma these days.
Yes.
In cycling. I don't know whether you've noticed that.
Yeah.
It was for my asthma.
Yeah. I've got this problem with asthma. I've had it since I was a kid. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a cyclist and I'm going to climb mountains on my bike. That's the one for me.
I'm going to operate in high altitude because that's going to be the best thing for me.
So, yes. Cycling had reached a point where it had become like an almost social disease. You had cyclists who were renting out, you know, flop houses, you know, along the tour and hooking themselves up with hooky gear and injecting themselves. And it was all terribly, terribly seedy.
Yeah.
And I think that those days, hopefully those days are over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would suggest that it's naive to think that there isn't some level of doping that goes on in professional sport across the board.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, it's so difficult to get caught. But, to what extent it is in football, I have no idea.
No. Well, I mean, obviously, rugby union is going through a phase at the moment where it's got to look at itself because rather than at the top level where, you know, it's anyone's guess whether it's happening or not, but in the grassroots level, reportedly a large increase in the amount of young men taking steroids to bulk up because rugby players have to be 18 stone now to play.
Yeah.
Well, this I think is the sad consequence of profession. One of the consequences of professionalism in rugby is that it is such a physical sport that the temptation, to use supplements to bolster yourself up to gain an advantage is very, very prevalent. And to the point where, you worry that it becomes a cultural thing. And that's the thing that where you really become concerned about. But there's talk and reports of those kind of issues of steroid abuse by young men particularly, but by young people, generally speaking, you know, in terms of those who are fitness fanatics, particularly our young who spend an awful lot of time in gyms.
Yeah.
And then they pursue that as a lifestyle and they end up taking supplements and that, if they're not careful, can lead to abuse. And that's not just a rugby thing. That's a social thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, you have the same with, you know, unfortunately, young women trying to starve themselves to look like an Instagram model. It's crazy because there's social pressures as well.
Body dysmorphia is relevant for men and women.
And it doesn't help when you have leading social media influencers encouraging young women to suck on lollipops that reduce their appetite.
Bringing it back to football.
Football, you say?
Yes. Yeah. Rather than the Instagram influencers that you watch, follow.
Actually, my wife, not me.
yes, of course. Your Honour. This is the problem that governing bodies face whenever they sanction teams and players, is the fact that they've got to be seen to be doing the right thing, but they've also got to be seen to not be damaging their own sport.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because they don't want to be seen that something is wrong in what they're doing. And, of course, you know, if something is widespread, or even if it's not widespread, if you fear it's widespread, then that almost becomes a hoodoo in itself. Mm. You can't go after it, because if you do, the whole foundations of what your sport's built on might crumble down.
Yeah. Yes. Imagine what would happen to the Premier League, for example, if they found out that, I don't know, just one or maybe a handful or maybe just one team in it, the doping was rife within that team.
Yeah.
And what do you do? Do you make a decision and sanction that team or that player?
Yeah.
Or do you do nothing and just go, right, you've just got to stop this, but we're not going to do anything about it? The wheels would come off the Premier League in big, big style.
Well,
all of the money that they get paid in sponsorship, all of the rights that they'd sold, everyone would come knocking back on their door and start saying, we'll have our money back, thank you.
Yeah.
We don't want to be associated
with this. You've damaged my product.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it happened in Italy, didn't it? Not that long ago.
Calciopoli, you're thinking of. Yeah. That was obviously not doping, but that's match fixing. Ultimately.
But another thing that is obviously something that you can either come clean and say, look, we're fine now, we put our house in order, but the damage it does, it's taken Serie A it's probably still not bad.
I'm wondering whether or not maybe they've ever really recovered from that.
No.
Oftentimes, the thing to do usually is you go mea culpa when you think that the government is about to step in. You think that the law enforcement which is something that FIFA didn't do.
Yeah.
And then when they upset the Americans over the 2022 World Cup bid.
Yeah.
And then the Department of Justice decided to say, we're going to investigate these guys, and the next thing you know, they're all running for the hills.
Yeah. Listeners, if you've heard anything today that reminds you of something that's happened in a sport that you follow, then please get in touch with us through social media, the ways to get in contact with us. You'll hear them during the music. Now, this weekend, Terry, have we got anything decent to watch on the telly?
There's football on.
Oh, great. Yeah, I love football.
Stacks of football. I love football.
I like watching football.
Watching football. I do enjoy watching on the television as well. Yeah. It is good.
But there's so much on the telly, though, isn't there? Yeah.
Some say too much.
Yeah, well, if you've got 11 sports. There's not so much if you haven't got 11 sports now, but there's still plenty on there.
Yeah, there's still bags on there if you don't have 11 sports. Sheffield Wednesday versus Leeds United. That looks quite good.
That's
Leeds
good
lost,
Friday
didn't
night.
They?
Yeah.
Wednesday beat Aston Villa. Did you see that goal that geezer from Aston Villa scored?
Yeah.
That was a goal. We could have actually spent half an hour just talking about that.
But was it as good as goal as Zlatan's 500th goal?
No, the roundhouse kick.
Yeah.
Zlatan's goal was better. It was the most Zlatan goal since the last Zlatan goal.
It's like one of those things where you expect the commentator to say, that's his 500th goal and he won't have scored many better than that. When he said, well, actually, yeah, he probably has got about a half a dozen better than that. But yes, ridiculously as that it sounds, yes, that was the goal. And if you haven't seen Zlatan's 500th goal, then you're obviously not on social media because
YouTube.
It was bloody everywhere.
YouTube is your friend.
Yes, YouTube is your friend. But yeah, there's
Chelsea-Liverpool,
which obviously isn't as big a game as it was going to be before last weekend when Chelsea drew against West Ham. But
nevertheless,
it's still going to be a massive game. And so it's a Madrid derby on Saturday night as well. So that's going to be worth watching as well.
Yes, if you've got 11 spots.
Yes. If you're like Tim Capel and you love a bit of Bundesliga 2 action, then Hamburg versus St. Pauli. That's the hipster's choice, isn't it?
Oh, my God. There's the Hamburg derby?
Yes.
Yeah, that is a massive game. That's going to be a massive game, particularly on the back of Hamburg losing 5-0 at home to Jan Regensburg Sunday lunchtime.
Man, like, at home. They hate playing Bavarian sides, don't they?
They really do. They really do. And it doesn't matter how rubbish they are as well. And Jan Regensburg are not too hot, and they lost 5-0. One of the worst ever penalties I've ever seen in the history of penaltydom was in that game by Aaron Hunt, and they were 3-0 down, and he just shot it straight at the keeper, and you just looked at him and went, oh my God, this is going to get really nasty.
Was it worse than Zalzal's?
It was the second worst penalty I've ever seen in penaltydom. Thanks very much for the reminder.
Well, if you want to see the seven games that we picked for this weekend, then get along to tinyletter.com/soundoffootball and just hit subscribe, put your email address in. It's a free email. It comes every week.
Free!
Free.
It's free!
Free, you say?
It comes every week. It didn't come last
week. It doesn't come every week. But it comes most weeks.
Yeah,
and it's free. It's free come. Sorry, that's not right. Sorry.
Oh,
it comes for free.
Can
no,
we stop recording
that's
now,
wrong.
Please? I need to get out of this room.
Yes, I think we all need to get out of this room. That is all we have time for this week, thankfully. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
So it's all a big mess, and there is no easy solution there. Yeah, that's we've got nothing more to say about it.
That's it. Half an hour later.
That's half an hour.
This was supposed to be the jumping off point for a general discussion.
Yeah.
On disciplinary matters, and it's and we've been doing it for this is our Father Ted speech, isn't it? We now move on to the liars.
Yes. Do you want more drinks, everyone?
I think we can all do with a refill, don't you?
Listeners now they're checking how long does this go on for?
Yeah. God, I've been on this train for a long time.
Anyway, lads, it's been fun, but I've got to go to work now.